Feeling so much to need the Lord's merciful and gracious help, I venture again this evening in directing your thoughts to the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 13, and reading verses 7 and 8. The Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 13, and reading verses 7 and 8. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. We venture to speak this afternoon from the seventh verse, which is indeed a particular word or words of truth to pastors whom the Lord has set over or will yet set over a flock. The exhortation given, remember them which have the rule over you, who are your guides, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, I desire to be enabled by the Holy Spirit to come now to the eighth verse, and just reading the last clause in verse 7, first, considering the end of their conversation, their whole life, in their example, in their way of living. Very, very solemn responsibility God's servants have, and in a very particular way are those whom the Lord is pleased to set over a flock. But this then is the very substance of the gospel, of the ministry. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, the Lord has laid this eighth verse in my heart in one or two particular ways, and therefore I can but venture in the way that my soul has been burdened. And I would say at once that this subject, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, is indeed an endless subject. We shall never, ever come to the end of this subject. And however many years a poor trembling man may seek to preach Jesus, and I'm sure God's servants that are here with us this evening will join with me in this thought, oh, how little do I feel to have preached Jesus, and yet I would. May we then be favoured so to do this evening. Jesus Christ. And may we listen to this, the same yesterday. That goes right back to the counsels of Jehovah before the creation of this world, before the foundation of this world. It was then Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, in the covenant of grace concerning the whole election of grace. But it is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today. Dear friends, this is true. And oh, that we might hear his voice in this. But it is today. Today. And then this and forever. Of his kingdom, said Daniel, by the spirit of his kingdom, there shall be no end. And we have this throughout the whole of God's word. This wondrous, sacred, central truth, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Now I must venture then in the way that I feel exercised in seeking to preach Jesus. And first of all, we go back to Abraham. This is why I venture to read those few verses in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John. You see, the Lord Jesus said of Abraham that he saw my day and was glad. And we know that he did indeed see Jesus. We believe that he saw him personally on that particular day that we read this afternoon in Genesis chapter 18. Because I'm sure that one of those three heavenly messengers that came to him while he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day was none other but the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And in our reading this afternoon, I believe you'll remember this, that the Lord came yet again to Abraham on that occasion and renewed that wondrous promise to him that Sarah would have a son. And if you look into the Word of God, I believe you will find that the Lord first intimated this, that he would be given a son when he was 75. And that son was born to him when he was 100 years old, which reminds us that he waited 25 years for the fulfillment of that promise. What is particularly with me, and I do need help to convey what I feel to you. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. But you will remember that on that occasion, this was said to Abraham and to Sarah, is anything too hard for the Lord? And if that same question was put to us this evening, dear friend, how would we respond to that? If the Lord favours us with the precious gift of faith and the Holy Spirit exercises that faith within our hearts, because we have no power in ourselves to do this, but if faith is exercised within our hearts, we shall see Jesus in such words as this. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And I would remind you that Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And I would also remind you of what he himself says. All power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. I wonder how many of us here this evening have what, and as we view it, things which are impossible. Impossible with us, with me, and we have been shown, and it may have been very painfully, that this thing or these things that you have in your life and in your heart, you know, you've come to this perhaps more than ever, even today, even in recent days, you know this. You know this by the teaching of the Spirit, that whatever it is in your life, in your heart, that the thing is impossible with men. But what does Jesus say about it? The thing which is impossible with men is possible with God. And what did the Lord say to the poor, burdened, trembling father concerning his afflicted son? This is what he said to him. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Can you join, do you join with that dear man on that occasion? As he did, because we read this, that he cried out with tears, saying, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Perhaps there are fathers and mothers or others here this evening, and you may have things in your life, and you well know that you cannot manage it. You do not know how to deal with it. But oh, may the Holy Spirit help me to tell you that Jesus can. Because it is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. You may have been waiting a long, long time for the fulfillment of a promise. And you will remember too regarding Abraham and Sarah, that when the day did come for that promise to be fulfilled, it was, humanly speaking, utterly impossible. And yet again I would remind you of the words of Jesus, the thing which is impossible with men is possible with God. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. Whatever the Lord's will is, I've often felt this, that if the Lord has granted us faith in believing, whatever the Lord's will is, he will honour that faith. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. But if you are moved to read again the 17th and 18th chapters of the book of Genesis, you'll find this, that Abraham, We are told this in the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And yet, in that preceding chapter, oh dear Abraham, you know he laughed. And we read this afternoon how Sarah laughed. You see, what a difference there is between unbelief and God-given faith. What a difference there is in our own poor hearts regarding this. My thoughts just go for a moment in a different direction to when dear Peter was shut up in prison. And Herod, and no doubt the devil working within Herod's heart, he thought, well, I've got him now. And yet what do we read about that occasion regarding the Church of God? That prayer was made without ceasing of the Church of God for him. And there they were, many were gathered together praying. And yet you'll remember when Peter came and knocked on the gate on that occasion, and the damsel Rhoda came out. And she knew that it was Peter, and she went in and she said, she told them that Peter was standing at the gate. You see, there they'd been praying and no doubt favoured in believing that God could deliver Peter out of that prison. And yet when Rhoda comes to tell them that he's there, and they're in answer to prayer, what did they say to her? They said, thou art mad. What I'm just trying to convey is this, the difference in our own poor hearts between God-given faith and unbelief. And yet, oh, to be granted such faith, as Abraham was granted, because he staggered not at the promise of the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Now I just want to convey a further thought there, and it's this. You see, Isaac was born. Isaac was born. I wonder if there are any here tonight that are carrying a promise. You may have been waiting for many years. But Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, and his power is the same. All power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. And then another exercise of my soul regarding this subject is concerning Isaac. You'll remember how Isaac and Rebekah came together in a very special way. You'll remember how that the Lord favoured Isaac, and my thoughts are particularly in this. The time came in his life when there was contention between Isaac and Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And yet again this word, and this is how it has been with me in secret, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. I wonder if there are any here today that are in particular need of guidance. The Lord knows if you are. You need guidance. You need the Lord to guide you. And this is how you've come to the services today. And you've been praying your way here. And my thoughts just go to this occasion in Isaac's life when there was this dreadful contention, and it was related to the wells which Abraham, his father, had dug, and the Philistines had covered them in. And you may remember how Isaac, we read that there was those who dug this well. Oh yes, they had been dug. And yet they dug this well, and there was contention. Perhaps you've known this in your life. And oh, what a sad, sad thing it is. And this first well that they dug, oh, the name that was given to it was this, contention. And then another well was dug again. And you may remember what that was, the name that was given to it, and they strove for it. And the name of that second well was hatred. Now, the Lord knows what any of you may be walking in your life. And let me just remind you of what is said of Jesus. They hated him without a cause. And there might be those here this evening, you're not a stranger to hatred. And so there was further striving, you know, over that second well, but there was another well that was to be dug. And for that there was no striving. And you may remember the name that was given to that well. It was Rehoboth. And what could Isaac say regarding that well? You see, this is how my thoughts have been before God regarding this subject. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And the Lord knows if this is a word, I may never know. But the Lord knows if this is a word for someone here this evening. That third well was to be Rehoboth. And Isaac could say this, and I believe if I am your servant to anyone in some particular way, which the Lord knows and you know, but Isaac could say this about that, well, the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Has the Lord made room for you? Friends, has the Lord made room for us? You see, this does very much relate to the Lord granting to his people a spiritual home. I wonder how many of us here this evening do have a spiritual home. I wonder if there are any here that are praying that they may be favoured with a spiritual home. And if you've come today with this exercise, you will certainly understand what I'm trying to convey to you. Because, you see, the Lord made room for them. Made room for them in the land. And they could say, Isaac could say, yes, the Lord has made room for us. And for that, well, you see, there was no contention and there was no hatred. Because the Lord made room for them. Oh, this has long been the burden of my own heart in the ministry. That the Lord would favour precious souls with a spiritual home. And you see, when the Lord does do this for his people, he makes the way. He makes the way clear. And sometimes, you know, in these things, it may well be a completely opposite to our own desire and our own thoughts. But when the Lord fulfills such a word as this, they that be planted in the house of God shall flourish in the courts of our God. So I just leave these thoughts with you. But this is the way it's been with me. It's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And I just ask one more question. Oh, dear friends, are there those of you here tonight who are praying to be granted a spiritual home? And I can tell you what will bring this about in your life. It will be just this, really. Jesus will be preached to your soul. Jesus will be preached to your soul. And then you'll lose sight of the minister, the pastor. You'll lose sight of everything then. And it will be Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that will separate us from everything that is of the flesh. And it will bring us alone to him. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. You see, in these things, the truth that I'm just trying to bring before you, this is how it was open to my thoughts to come with today. In these different ways, it is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And then too, my thoughts have gone to Jacob. And you'll remember, and the Lord knows how many of us will remember this truth. What did God say of those two boys that were born to Isaac and Rebekah? This is what he said. Oh, the sovereignty of God in election. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Those of us that God has blessed with children here today, the Lord alone knows what his sovereign will is in these matters regarding the souls of our children. Or the souls of others. But you will remember how the day came in Jacob's life when, instigated by his mother, he deceived his father. Oh yes, he deceived his father. What did his father say to him when Jacob appeared with the venison that he loved? He said this, didn't he? The hands are Esau's, but the voice is Jacob's. And yet he was deceived. And Jacob suffered for the rest of his life, from time to time. And God's word was fulfilled, and it is still being fulfilled. And the word that I think of is this: be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And yet, when Jacob really fled from his home and his brother Esau vowed his death, where do we find him? We find him at Bethel. And it was Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. You see, the lines of the hymn that were fulfilled in Jacob's life, I believe, that day. The appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose, but call my grace to change the heart, renew the will, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. And the Lord met with Jacob at Bethel. And you see, even in this, it's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. There may be parents here this evening, there may be others. But the Lord knows if there are parents here that have prodigal sons or daughters. And the Lord knows where they are. But it's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. The sovereignty of God in his electing love. You see, that everlasting love was to reach Jacob that day. As he laid himself down in that place, he took of the stones of that place for his pillow. And there he was met with. Friends, let me remind you of this, that salvation is of grace. It's through faith. It's a sovereign act. And the Lord met with Jacob there. And he was given, as it were, a sight of the open way to heaven. And another word was being fulfilled in his life. And it's this: Jacob, oh Jacob. And the wonder of redeeming love and mercy that reached his heart. And there the Lord spoke to him. Yes, the Lord spoke to Jacob there. And you know, dear friends, when power divine is put forth in the hearts of sinners, and you may have those upon your heart today, and yet when almighty love, as the hymn writer has put it, arrests that man, and no power can frustrate the work of God, the Holy Spirit. And as Jacob lay there asleep and saw the ladder, with the ladder, the top reached in heaven, the bottom on the earth, and behold, the Lord stood above it. And there commenced to be communication between earth and heaven, heaven and earth. And because of this, it was Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Oh, what did it do for Jacob? And what will it yet do for poor sinners who may yet be right out in the world? They may be, to use the language of the hymn, they may be as far from God as sheep can run. But the wonder of redeeming love and mercy is this: they can never roam beyond that love. Because fenced with Jehovah shells and wills, firm as the everlasting hills. And so we read, do we not, regarding Jacob there? It was certainly this, it was Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And what could he say? Have you ever been able to say this? Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Have we ever been able to say that? Have you ever felt it? The Lord is in this place. And yet, you see, by divine revelation, he was brought to know that it was Jesus. And his poor heart was filled with awe. How dreadful, how full of awe is this place. This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. What did he do for Jacob? Oh, this is what he did. This is what it did for him. Has it ever done it for us? He said, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. Oh, he never ever could forget Bethel. And you know, dear friends, if we have had a few spots of ground where the Lord has met with us and he's made himself known to us as our Jesus, oh, how sacred those spots of ground are. Do you have a few? Do you have a few? Where Jesus did thee meet? And then again, I must venture a little further in the life of Jacob in this way. You will remember the time came when the Lord said to him, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. Did he obey the Lord's voice? You may remember he tells his two wives. And the Lord permitted him to have those two wives. There was a divine purpose in it, because there were to be 12 tribes of Israel. But when he speaks to his wives regarding what the Lord had told him, they encouraged him. They were with him in what the Lord had said. But oh, what a journey he had before him. Because he well knew that still there was Esau that had vowed his death. And he sets out on that journey, and the angels of God met him and called the place Ma'anaim. This is the Lord's house. You see, the Lord, when the Lord tells us to do something, dear friends, he won't leave you in it. I wonder if there are those here this evening that the Lord has spoken to. You may have been told to do something, and the Lord knows what that something is. And he was obedient to the voice of his God. And through mercy, his wives were with him. And yet, as he goes on that journey, he receives a message, doesn't he? That Esau has come to meet him, and 400 men with him, and Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. Are you afraid? Are you distressed? Do you have something in your life today that you really wonder where the scene will end? Jacob certainly did. And yet, it was this, it was Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And Jacob being Jacob, he prepares a present for his brother. In fact, he seeks to do everything he can to appease his brother. And I would say this with reverence, you know, there was no need for any of this. But Jacob being Jacob, and if we know anything of our own poor, fallen, sinful hearts, we shall understand how it was with Jacob that day. But now what I just want to come to particularly is this. Jacob was going to receive, perhaps it could be rightly said, the greatest blessing of his life, or at least one of the greatest blessings of his life. And how did the Lord bring it about? Oh, Jacob prepared, didn't he? He put his wives in order and his children in order, and he did everything so that he could do all he could. But friends, what did the Lord do with him? Why, we read this. And Jacob was left alone. He was left alone. He had to put everything he possessed over the brook. You've heard this before, I'm aware of that. But friends, he had to put everything he possessed over the brook. And you know, if we're to be favoured to know something of this in our hearts, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, this is the way in which the Lord will bring us. He will bring us away from everything and everyone until we're brought at last, as it were, to him alone. So he had to put everything over the brook, and Jacob was left alone. Do you feel to be there today? And yet, you see, this was the preparation that was needed. That Christ, yes, it was Jesus himself that wrestled with Jacob on that occasion. Have you ever noticed how that is worded? There wrestled a man with him. There wrestled a man with him. And when the Lord brings us away from everything and everyone, he'll bring us there. And when the Lord, as it were, wrestles with us, that we may wrestle with him, because he would bless our souls. What are we told about Jacob on that occasion? We are told this, that the Lord touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh as he wrestled with him, and his thigh was out of joint. That the Lord would do these things, and he dealt with Jacob, and he still does with poor Jacob's today. He dealt with him in such a way that he brought him to this. And the Lord said to him, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And how did Jacob respond? Have we ever responded like that? "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Oh, you know, this is what we so need in these sad days in which we live. Wrestling prayer. Can wonders do bring relief in deepest straits? Prayer can force a passage through iron bars and brazen gates. The remedies before thee pray. But you see, the Lord allowed him, as he wrestled with him, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." And then, friends, what do we read? He blessed him there. It was Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He blessed him there. And then there's something else too that we need to remember, and it's this. Jacob's thigh was out of joint. And what do we read as he passed over Peniel? He halted upon his thigh. The Lord touched him, you know, and I believe it would be right to say that he bore that to the end of his days. But oh, he could never forget that day, because it was this, he blessed him there. And it was Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Well, I must soon leave these thoughts with you. I've really only just unburdened my heart a little with regard to this subject. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And so we could go on, but I feel that I must leave these thoughts with you today. But see, so we could go on speaking of him. You think of all that took place in his ministry upon this earth. You think of those that he met with. You think of those that he blessed. I just think of the leper who came to him with this. Jesus, he said this, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He was a poor leper. And he came to Jesus. Do we know what it is to come to Jesus as poor lepers? Why he came to Jesus and he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Friend, do you want to be made clean? Do you want to be made clean? Do you know what it is to be a sinner? Abraham knew it, Isaac knew it, Jacob knew it, and so does every living child of God. They are brought to know that they're sinners. They're brought to know that they're poor lepers. And yet, what do we read again? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. What do we read about that poor leper? Why, we read this. His Lord said to him, I will, be thou clean. The Lord bless his own word to us. Amen.